We have some guests with us tonight, and we're going to welcome them. Mike, would you come? And he has brought someone he's going to introduce to us and tell us about their ministry. Would you make them welcome tonight?
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it.
Well, it's a pleasure and an honor to be here at People's Church. I've seen the church many, many times. I've been by it. I've even attended it once or twice. And I know there's some friends of ours that also attend here, so it really is a pleasure to be here. And it's a pleasure to be here representing Abundant Life Ministry and Destiny House Network St. Louis and Destiny House Network throughout America. We do go out and we do minister and reach out to the lost. And as we reach out to the lost, we want to go ahead and bring them in. And yet one of the things we run into, and I know you've probably run into it as well, are those who are unchurched, and then there are those who are de-churched. They might have attended at one time, but they quit doing it. And the reasons that we get the most have been these reasons. One, they get mad at God. Number two, they get mad at the pastor. Excuse me, Pastor, I know no one's ever gotten angry with you. Or three, they get mad at each other. Look at each other and just say, I'm not angry with you. Amen. As a matter of fact, tell them, I love you. Amen. So one of the things, though, with Destiny House Network that we've done is about 3 years ago, God started speaking to me and telling me to study everything I could about the Nation of Islam. Started reading everything I could and studying everything about their customs, why they do what they do, who Allah is. And I kept asking God, why, God? Because you have me doing this. But you know, God can always change your direction. Amen. We still reach out to the lost. We still go out and reach the de-churched and the unchurched. But we've expanded our sphere of influence to go throughout the nation to educate churches and people within the body of Christ about Islam and their threat. One of the things that we have got to recognize is that we are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle. The scripture in Ephesians tells us, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Can I get an amen? Are you in agreement? That is the word of God that tells us the spiritual battle. As a result of that study, and about 3 years later, God went ahead and changed my course of influence and the sphere of influence, and he introduced me to a man by the name of Ali Reza Bakhtiari, known as Ali Bakht. Ali Bakht is how to describe Ali? He's a miracle. Ali is a miracle. And I'm going to let him tell his own story. But when I met him and I heard different things and we were able to converse, I knew that God was finally putting that 3-year plan into action. And as we've gone out so far, we've been, well, here in Missouri, thank God. We've been in Florida, we've been in Georgia, and there's many more places to go throughout the states. But we're here to share his story, what God can do in the life of a terrorist. So we're going to see a brief film. And Ali Bakhti will be up to speak to you. So can we just go ahead, though, and give the Lord a hand praise?
Thank you. As the Muslim holy month of Ramadan begins, American Muslims gather in Islamic centers to worship, break the dawn to dusk fast together, recite their holy book, the Quran, and help the poor. Imam Abdullah Khuj is president of the Islamic Center in Washington, the oldest one in the U.S. capital.
We try to make people feel like they are in any Muslim country and Muslim community. We offer the meal to break their fast. We have more than 500 people, male and female, with their children, families. And also, as far as prayers, we have a lot of people. They come and they pray with us.
Imam Basim Saeed leads a congregation in San Diego, but was visiting Washington, D.C. He has a similar plan.
We'll be reciting the Quran every evening. We'll be feeding the poor at iftars, and we'll be getting together to celebrate this great month in which the Quran was revealed for the benefit of mankind.
For Muslim Americans, Ramadan means improving self-discipline and helping others. Abbas Muhammad is a diplomat from Chad.
Ramadan is the greatest month of the year, like a day of forgiveness, pray and share everything with your neighbors.
But as a minority living in a non-Muslim society, some Muslim Americans find Ramadan challenging.
Mostly it's at work or school. For students, it's harder because not everyone around you is fasting or understand what Ramadan is.
However, young Muslim Americans like Bilal Saeed are finding ways to meet the challenges.
I face many challenges, but I focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and focus on the Quran, and these challenges become easier for me to pass each day.
I want to extend best wishes to Muslims in America and around the world. Ramadan Kareem.
Imam Khuj believes the Ramadan greetings offered by American presidents have helped raise awareness about Ramadan among Americans.
The president of a great country acknowledged the fact that people are fasting and somehow share with them their feelings and at the same time make them feel that they are welcome in this country.
He says Ramadan is also an opportunity to educate non-Muslims during interfaith iftars. He says the diversity among U.S. Muslims gives Ramadan in America a special flavor. Muhammad Al-Shinawi, VOA News.
They called us and asked us, could they use the facility, that their facility was not going to be complete by the time Ramadan began. Because for us, the simple fact is that they are our neighbors. You know, Jesus defined all people as our neighbors. They're actually our neighbors right across the street. And it's not about politics. It's not about theology. It's about those people that actually live across the street and getting to know them. And we found them to be dear and gracious and loving people.
I think it's really done a lot in that sense. And people have just become very comfortable with the fact that, hey, you might be different. You might have a different way of believing. But at the same time, now I know about it. I know you're not what I've been told.
They're always welcome to come to our place. And we share earth together. So what's the difference between sharing earth and sharing a street? There's no difference at all.
Hey, try it, give it a shot. Open your heart, open your doors, and you'll discover that we are very similar. We are more alike than we are different.
اقتلوهم حيث ثقفتموهم اخرجوهم من حيث اخرجوكم والفتنة اشد من القتل.
Thank you, Brother Ryan. Good evening. Thank you for having us over. My name is Ali. When we drove in today with Pastor Salazar, I saw the name of the church. You know, I had this buddy of mine. He recently graduated from seminary, and he is going to different places to interview to become a either junior or associate or senior pastor. And like he emails me, he said, no, this place I went to, I didn't like it. It was some pastor's church. The pastor owned the church. And then he went somewhere else. He said, yeah, a group of deacons owned the church here. It was the deacon's church. Now I'm going to call him and say, hey, man, I found somewhere which is the people's church. Okay? So, well, he found a job, actually. Thank God he is in Illinois somewhere. What this movie was about, what this video was about, I've been receiving questions about it year after year. That, Ali, what is this animosity coming from? What is it that it's been for two decades now that the lives and the properties of American people are under attack by the Muslim world? Why is that? Well, look back at the history. Americans always have loved history, so this is easy here. Is it because of petroleum? No. People around other countries and other companies have ripped Middle Easterners off with their gas and petroleum much more than DuPont or Americans or any other American entity, okay? It's not about the petroleum. Is it about alcohol? Because Muslims hate alcohol, so, and there is alcohol in America. Well, German companies, the whole country of Germany has made more alcohol, more than enough for the whole history, okay? It's not about alcohol. So what is it? I submit to you tonight that there is one thing that Americans do, that they have pioneered the earth in doing that, that's made the Satan mad as hell. And that is winning souls for Christ. This Sunday is the Mission Sunday. And churches all around this country has made it just a point, has made it a duty to raise missionaries, support missionaries, and send them around the world. And these missionaries have gone to different countries and touched lives and changed lives like mine. And, well, of course, Satan is mad about that. That is why this country is under attack. And this country, as long as continues supporting the cause of Christ, and as long as America continues being the beacon of Christ in this world, well, these attacks will continue. Satan is not going to sit back down. And this is not anything new. The Word of God has prophesied about this from the beginning. The Word of God says, the wickedness of the wicked man continues to become worse. And the Word of God says that you will continue being persecuted or prosecuted in my name and because of my name. This battle goes back to the time when ministry of Jesus Christ himself started on his earth. And we are also called by the Word of God to fight this battle. The Word of God says, you are either with me or against me. So we are also called to choose a side. We cannot be lukewarm about it. Now this declaration of war is not only declared in the Word of God. They have declared it too. When we were editing this video, I intentionally put that verse over there from the book of Quran that says, find them. Give them an opportunity to become Muslims. If they miss that opportunity, kill them. I mean, do you want more black and white? Do you want anything louder than that? Now, I intentionally put that after what the imam in Tennessee was saying, that, well, we are all the same. Everything is hunky-dunky. Let's share the earth together. Woo! Well, immediately that word came from their own holy book, which says, find them. Give them an opportunity. If not, kill them. So apparently we are not able to share a street or the word with them. In order to further clarify this imminent an existing and ongoing battle amongst us. I wanted to touch on spirit possession by the demonic spirit. Spiritual battle occurs and it's between us and it's amongst us and it's ongoing. But Satan grabs his soldiers and his weapons through spiritual possession of these individuals. We have heard instances and times that we've heard somebody's been spirit possessed or demon possessed. When I was in Rolla, Missouri, I was in school and I was going to a church that people had a youth ministry downstairs and they ran up. They said, "Hey guys, come over and help. There is a little kid downstairs who is throwing chairs and throwing objects and he's screaming profanity." And I was like, "Well, maybe somebody's throwing a tantrum." I went down there and I was like, "Okay, hey man, what's going on, my friend? Won't you calm down? Here, let me get you some water." And it was a young kid, very young teenager. Maybe, I don't know, 10, 12, 13. And all of a sudden, this kid in Rolla, Missouri, starts speaking Persian to me in my mother's language. Not only that, he started telling me that, don't you think I've forgotten about that? Do you remember you went to Kurdistan and that gunfire broke out and how many people were killed? Well, this is a secret that I had kept in my heart that when I was in Iran and when I was in the army and when I was in the guard, I was somewhere and gunfire broke out and a bunch of people got killed and nobody knew about this. But this kid is speaking to me in Persian and reminding me of that deathful night. Well, it doesn't take much to know that it's not this kid talking to me. A spirit is talking to me through this child. And I had no experience with possession by the demonic spirits. I went and found pastors who had experience with it. We came and we surrounded that child and we prayed on him. We prayed with him and that kid was delivered. He's serving the church now and he's going to college. That is one example of possession by demonic spirit. Now, recently we saw in the news that this boy in Ohio went to school with a .22 caliber and wounded people and killed three of his classmates. We had it happening in Virginia Tech, that college student did that to his college friends. We had it in Colorado in Columbine. And we had it this year in Crystal City and in Jefferson County and other schools that students took their own lives and they brought pain upon the society. Well, this is another degree of demon possession, that there are not Christians around this person. This person is being inflicted by some kind of spirit and there are not people around him to love him enough and to put the word of God in him. So that person goes on to create death upon himself or herself or himself and a bunch of other people around him. Like Gerald Rofner, who started drifting away in satanic things and things of that nature from the dark side. And in Arizona, he decided to get up one weekend and go and shoot a bunch of people, including a congresswoman, and bring about death and destruction. The word of God says Satan is here to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that's what he did. This is another category of possession by demonic things. Now, let me give you an example of the best category that Satan wants to have as a soldier. Brother Ryan, may I please ask you to put the picture of Muhammad Atta up here, if you would kindly. Now, this gentleman, he was born almost about the same time that I was born in 1976. He was born in Egypt, amongst a very religious family. And he went to Germany to study to become an engineer. He had dreams of life. And in Germany, a lot of debauchery was going on around him. A lot of racism and a lot of oppression. And he was being offended and stepped upon and ignored. And he was really hurt. And there were recruiters for the satanic front around him, telling him, "Oh, see, all this debauchery and all this sinfulness that is going on around you, that's the Americans' fault. You know, America does that. And whatever German people are doing to you, it's their fault." he started taking that, those words in. And after a while, he gave in to those demonic spirits that were coming to overtake him as a person. He went back home to Egypt, to his mother, and said, "Mother, I am going to go through a suicidal mission, and I'm going to be a martyr." And his mother said, "Well, we will be honored if you were martyred. It's the best honor for a Muslim family to give away a martyr." And his mother had woven this jacket for him. She gave that to him. They sat and they ate and they prayed to Allah together. Now, I'm trying to bring this point home that there was not only there was nobody around him to put the word of God in him, but also there were people feeding that fire in him too. Okay? So he came to Germany. Now, this man was spending like 15 hours per day studying English and also studying his engineering courses so he would be ready to come to the United States for his operation. Not only that, he was also recruiting other people to join his team. And he was focused, he was resolved, and he was dedicated. You see, the man is spirit possessed. I mean, the man has become a devotee to Satan's cause. But he has focus, he has resolve, he has dedication. And him and 10 other people that he helped to be recruited, they went to the American embassy, they applied for a student visa, and they came to the United States, and they committed an act that Satan would have loved to happen. And it was just, you know, as people say down south, they said, the devil was dancing that night when 9/11 happened. And this man was the chief operative that Osama bin Laden chose to lead that team. Now, as you can see, he became an absolute effective weapon for Satan's front. Now, his dedication and his resolve with his 10 people who were with him were so much that, well, I wasn't there. These are the unclassified and declassified information from FBI now that him and the 10 other people, a few months prior to 9/11, they went to Afghanistan, they met with Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden started talking to them one by one. In one ear, he would whisper, "You are chosen by Allah." In the other ear, he would whisper, "You are chosen by Muhammad. Heaven is yours. And I envy you for doing this." And they broke down one by one in front of his knees and they cried and they kissed his hand. And I want to show you how dedicated one can become to the satanic causes and to that position that they are under. And now let me give you another example. Brother Brian, would you mind helping me with the picture of Ali Bakhti? You see? Now, Pastor Brooks, as you can see, the evidence shows that I used to have hair, okay? All right. Now, this is the picture of me about the same time that Muhammad Atta was recruited. Well, I was born in amongst a Shiite family, a very devout Shiite family, and Shiites have this tradition that the first son carries out the family's name, takes care of the parents when they're old, brings forth children so they would carry on the family's name. The second son is family's gift to Allah. The second son is sent to Madras and to military camps. So he would become a soldier and who would become family's gift to Allah. And I was the family's second son. Aren't I lucky? And then at the age of 10, I was enrolled in a madras. And the madras had a military camp. And the best years of my life were spent in military training, learning to kill with bare hands, learning to turn a street into a minefield, learning to go to groceries store and whatever people buy to for their household, turn the same things into a bomb. And these are the years that I could learn music. These are the years that I could read. These are the years that I could spend to make myself a better person. But Satan stole those years to, I gave those to him because I was under possession. And it was about June of 1994 when my imam came to me and said, Ali, the time has come. Now it's your turn. I envy you. It's your turn. And it was a plan for me to be sent to Beirut in Lebanon. And from Beirut, I was to be shipped across the border to Israel to go to Tel Aviv. And I was going to carry a fake Italian passport to pretend to be an Italian tourist. And my mission was to detonate this disco in Tel Aviv on a Saturday night that a lot of tourists and foreigners were there that night, mostly Americans and Israelis. And I was so cheerful. I was so happy that my turn had arrived. But about a week or 10 days prior to my flight to Beirut, this question mark went off in my mind. What if? What if this whole thing is a sham? What if Allah is not the God of earth and heavens? Why do I have to kill to go to hell, to go to heaven? If God is going to send me to heaven, why wouldn't he do it out of love? Where is this Allah's love? What's with this so much works? Why do I have to kill to buy his love? And why I was fighting with these, I even went to my cleric, to my spiritual advisor at the time, or imam. And he said, well, you know, don't worry. You're just stressed out. You are about to go to heaven, man, here. He gave me a handful of sleeping medicine and Prozac. And he said, here, just take these, sleep. You'll be fine. Heaven is close to you. Heaven is nigh. Heaven is near. And I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I was about to commit a mass murder. So I start walking around the streets of Tehran. And one day afternoon, while I was just trying to figure it out. And how many of you believe God is not in the business of incidents and accidents? Okay. While I'm walking, I find myself in front of the door of this run-down, dirty building that in Tehran they have given to Christians to go worship in. In brackets, I'm going to tell you what's the status of Christians in Iran, okay? There are very few, maybe 2,000-3,000 Christians are left who live in Iran. They have been there for centuries. They just don't want to leave because they call that place home. And then their number decreases more and more and more. And they have been given a building, very dirty, very small, that they are allowed to open the doors only Sunday mornings. And Sunday morning, the Secret Service goes, stands at the door, checks out 3 forms of IDs before letting people in. Why? Because Satan is so afraid somebody would talk to his army. Satan would get so mad if you go try to win one of his army members for Christ. Now, there are people in Iran, young men and young women who study about Buddhism, study about communism, Marxism, all kind of isms, and they dismiss it. They say, well, young people want, they're curious, they will read. That's fine. It's okay that you're curious, but if you mention the name Christ, the whole hell will break loose. That is how much Christ is afraid of God's anointing. That's how much, what did I say? Good deal, yeah, Satan. That's how much Satan is scared of anointing and the name of Christ and the power that the word of God carries. Now, I'm walking down the street. I find myself in front of that building. So some power behind me some power beyond me lifted my hand. I said, you know, knock on this door and ask them, what do they do in these circumstances? How do they go to heaven? What is their answer to this question? And this man opened the door and he's like, may I help you? I said, you know, I poured my heart out on him. I said, sir, I'm about to do this. It's aching me, you know. I'm supposed to be celebrating, but it really doesn't sit well with me. What? Why do I have to kill? What do you people do? What do you do to buy heaven? What do you do to go to heaven? And he looked at me. He said, you know, I'm never here this time of the day, but today I was just sitting here fiddling with stuff. And I believe this is a divine appointment. I'm not supposed to let you in. Because in any Muslim country, it's a serious crime if a Christian talks to a Muslim about their faith. That's a serious crime. But he said, I believe this is a divine appointment. I'm going to let you in. And I went in. And we sat and I started asking question after question. And this man gave me abundant amount of his time. Hours. And I remember the key question. The moment when I was sold was this. I said, well, sir, you say this Messiah guy got killed on a cross, and then because of him, the sins of humanity are forgiven. How could the death of one person bring forgiveness to the entire human race? He said, well, that would be more than enough if the man on the cross is God himself. And that was it. That was the moment when I was sold. And after hours, at the end, I even went down on his altar and I prayed. And for the first time, I talked to my Creator face in face in the most simple language. I went home and I told my mother that, no, I'm not going to Beirut. That mission is not happening. And, well, of course, there are a lot of difficulties coming after that when you, in a Muslim country, when you give up your faith. There are a lot of persecutions, prosecutions. I was shot. I was stabbed. But that pastor who led me to Christ when I was in prison sent me a note, and he sent me a verse from the Word of God. A verse from the Word of God said, "You shall live, and you shall proclaim the Word of God." Okay, and well, of course, later on, that pastor himself, he was stoned on the street for witnessing to Muslims. And that was maybe the worst day of my life when my younger brother ran into the house, said, Ali, they are stoning your friend. And they just brought and buried him into the ground and they stoned him to death. And I want to show you something else. Now, Brother Ryan, may I ask you to give me a side by side, please? Okay, now you see, this is Ali Bakhti with Muhammad Atta, okay? Almost the same time the picture was taken. Now, first of all, how many of you can attest that the guy on the right is more handsome, right? Okay, and not only that, Muhammad Atta and I were on the same track. Somebody who came out of his comfort zone, somebody who took church out of the four walls, came and brought Christ into my life. He didn't have, Muhammad Atta unfortunately didn't have that chance. Or maybe he had it and he missed it. It is very likely based on the place that he grew up and the mentality that he had. He had the chance and he turned his face on it. Now, The body of Christ these days is looking at soul winning as a nice social gesture or as a luxury and being a good neighbor or being a good guy. But as you can see, soul winning can avert a tragedy as big as 9/11. Why? Because the Word of God says, if you are not with me, you're against me. Now, in the word of today, the wandering souls who are out there, if they are not taken for Christ, and if we are not putting anointing and the word of God in them, and if we are not bringing Christ into them, and if we are not bringing them into kingdom of God, they're up for grabs. For who? For the Muslims. And Muslims have already declared what they are planning to do. Find them. If not, if they are not taking the word of Islam, kill them. Okay? It doesn't come any more clear than that. So soul winning is no longer a luxury. Soul winning and bringing souls to Christ is no longer a nice social gesture. It's a part of this ongoing war. Now, one other thing that you can take away home with you tonight is that if you have loved ones, neighbors, friends, relatives who are around you and they don't have Christ in their life, and well, you will see, okay, well, you see, the guy, his mom is an alcoholic and his dad is a druggie, and it's a rough neighborhood, rough family. Think of me. I wish my parents were alcoholic. That's much better than sending me as a suicide bomber, okay? So, if God could take my soul from those circumstances and bring me to Christ and start burning the fire of Holy Ghost in my heart and bring me here as an evangelist, if he can do that, believe me, it's much easier. Salvation is much more available and easy for your neighbors, your children, your grandchildren, and your relatives. So there is no more excuse left for giving up on the lost. But at the same time, Pastor Brooks, am I saying the name correctly, sir? Pastor Brooks is much more equipped than me to basically advise us on how to make ourselves available for winning souls. Now, very quickly, I wanted to go through this chart. It will be a couple of minutes, if I may. Brother Ryan, now, I apologize. Well, okay. My chart is not well. Brother Ryan, can I get a zoom on the upper half of this? It's my fault. You know, I prepared this, and I didn't do a good job in editing. The red ones are not legible. Do we zoom, Brother Ryan, you know? Those guys up there are so talented electronically. And really? Oh, maybe not. I think they are. Yeah. No, they are. This is my fault, okay? I have faced this evil before as far as the... Now, maybe we could focus on the... Excelente. Yes. I'm sorry, Ryan, for calling you not talented. You are. Yes. Now, as you can... Look, I'm sharing with you. I was possessed by the demonic spirit, and now I have the sweetness and the joy of Holy Spirit, and I have been possessed by the demonic spirit. Now every day, every morning, I find myself being possessed and overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, which is so good. Now, when you are under the influence of the demonic spirit, or when people that you find are, that spirit speaks for darkness. Our spirit brings light. That spirit speaks for wickedness. Holy Spirit brings peace. That spirit brings arrogance. Holy Spirit brings humility. That spirit brings destruction. That's Satan's job. Our spirit, God's spirit, and you and I's spirit brings trust. The satanic spirit is about decay, violence, and rebellion. Spirit of God brings restoration and healing. Now, depression and oppression is a clear product of the satanic spirit. And Spirit of God brings freedom and liberty, okay, and joy. Now, maybe we could switch to the bottom half, Brother Ryan, if you would. I appreciate it. A bit more? Yes, a bit more? Thank you. Thank you very much. Satanic spirit is about deception. God's spirit is about discernment. Satanic spirit is about delusion. The Holy Spirit brings wisdom. We fight bondage by freedom. And The demonic spirits are all about division and strife. The Holy Spirit and Christ is about acceptance. Selfishness and prejudice is fought by God's mercy and grace. And the religious spirit, demonic spirit, is condemnation and guilt. And God gives us conviction to fight that. I have a gentleman who lives with me. He has recently arrived from Iran, and he is a colonel. He's a lieutenant colonel of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. I worked with him, served under him for a while in Iran. And Pastor Salazar and I go to Parkton Assembly of God, which is down the road on Highway 55. And this gentleman came from Iran a bit prior to Christmas, and he came to our church as a visitor. And three different people came to him and invited him to their home for Christmas. And when we were driving back home, he was telling me, "Ali, who are these people? What is it that they have? What do they have? I want it." He was telling me the peace and the calmness and the joy that he had experienced in that church. And I'm sure he would experience it in this church as well. He said, "I've never experienced that in my life." Acceptance. That's what we are about, acceptance. Even a colonel, a lieutenant colonel from Islamic Revolutionary Guard, right off the airplane, he would feel love and acceptance and peace and joy amongst us. And again, I want to thank you for having us over. And hopefully we'll get the chance to come back and have fellowship with you again. Amen? Praise God.
Story of the miracle, amen? You know, one of the things we do believe, and I know you believe, we're still, you know, seeing the miracles of our Lord our God happen every day in this world. And we have a sphere of influence that we can go out and use that sphere of influence to reach the lost. And when you reach a person who is lost and you lead them to Christ, just remember, you're leading them out of the death of sin into the life of Christ. They are newly alive. Once they were dead, now they are alive. It's just like in our baptism where we were submerged into death with Jesus Christ. We are now resurrected unto life with Jesus Christ. Amen? One of the things that we've been given to do, as I was saying earlier, is to go out and not only inform people within the churches and put on seminars and conferences, or come in and preach on a Sunday night, or to bring a word on a Sunday day, but to go out into that world, and part of that world that we go out into now is the Muslim world. We go out to where Islam is. We go out to where the Muslim lives. And one of the things that we can take out that Allah in Islam cannot give them at all, and that is love. Amen. When they were talking about love on that screen, that was a lie. There is no love in the Quran. There is not a word for love in the Quran. There is not a word in the Quran for humility. There is not a word in the Quran for mercy, except not to give mercy. There is not a word in the Quran for grace. So we do have a step up on Islam when we can go to a Muslim, one who might be questioning, just like Ali was questioning, and give them an answer that when God so loved the world that he was willing to give his only begotten son so that all humanity could have their sins forgiven. Not only the sins of the day, but the ones that had been committed, the ones that were being committed and going to be committed. Because he loves us. God so loves the world. This opens up a whole new world to them. One of the things about Islam is you have to understand that they have irreconcilable feelings about who we are. We're Dar el Harb. It means we live. We're in a house of war. And they are in a house of God in Dar el Salaam. But one of the things you have to understand is everything they are is a lie from Satan himself. The book of Islam, the Quran, did not even start being put together until the 7th century. 600 years after Christ. I heard, and a man was speaking the other day, and it came out in a book as well that he has written, that isn't it something that when you get into the book of Revelation and you hear about the return of Christ, and this was written so far, so long before the Quran, is that all of a sudden Islam has a man called the 12th Imam or the Mahdi, who is a copycat of our Christ returning for his church. That he will come out of a well. The last I heard, he hasn't been loosed yet. But we know who prevails. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come in. I am going to go ahead and please come up with us. Is that we feel that one of the things, and as we go out, and I'm really sure that Pastor Brooks agrees, we hate the sin. We hate the lies that we saw in the film. They aren't the same. It isn't the same God. They don't want to live in peace with you. They either want to convert you or kill you. And that's what they want to do to the whole world. It is a spiritual battle. Yes, we know who wins. But Satan wants to take as many souls with him as he can. We want to prevent that. Stop that. So we also look to you. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you, Pastor.
Ushers, let's receive our offering tonight, and then we will close in prayer tonight. God bless you as you give. Go right ahead.